Hello everybody, and welcome to the Kiltearnan National School Oral History Project Reeling in the Years. This is podcast episode number one. My name is Dylan Ward, and I'm joined here by Aina Austin, Dara Quinn, Aina Hallinan, David Helly, and Thomas Heffernan, along with our special guests, Michael Helly, Pauline Scully, and Jerry O'Sullivan. We will be doing an interview on local history. Michael, Pauline, and Jerry are going to be interviewed by Dara, Aina Austin, and Aina Hallinan. We hope you enjoy us.
Hello, Jerry. Can you tell us all about any interesting historical buildings around the area?
Well, I live in Castle Taylor. There are lots of interesting historical buildings around Ardrahan, but I've got to talk about the one that's nearest to me. It was a castle originally, and the place wasn't even called Castle Taylor back then. 400 years ago, it was still called Ballymagrath, because the Irish family that built the castle and owned all the land were Magraths. But in the wars of the 17th century, they were on the wrong side. Like a lot of Irish families in the 17th century, they were on the losing side. And Cromwell, after winning his war in Ireland, paid a lot of his army officers in land and property. It was not only a way of saving money, it was a way of making sure the people he could count on, who were loyal, were settled in the land. So the Magraths lost their castle, and it went from being Castle Magrath to being Castle Taylor. And this family were there for hundreds of years, for 300 years actually. I had an old neighbour called James Birmingham, a very old gentleman, and his father was the kennel keeper in Castle Taylor, and he remembered the last of the Taylors. He said the last of the Taylors, when they no longer lived there permanently, because they also had a house in England, just used to come in the summer. He used to come with his nurse, because he was an old man, and his driver, and his cook. And the locals, believe it or not, the local hurlers would put on a cricket match for him every summer. But he sold the place in 1950, and that was the last of the Taylors in Castle Taylor.
I've heard that there are stories associated with Laban Hall, names like Lachlan and Quinn. Can you tell me about them, Pauline?
Yes, many people spoke about the Lucknan Quinn Memorial Hall and the reason it was built, because the Lucknan brothers and Eileen Quinn were both killed by the Black and Tans at the time of the War of Independence. And that's why they call the hall the Lucknan Quinn Memorial Hall. And it's still that to this day.
Michael, do you have any information about Kiltearnan Church?
Kiltearnan Church, you're referring to what is now a ruin. I suppose you could call it in Kiltearnan, not far from here, down the road, about a mile and a half, I would think. And what's there now is essentially a church, the remains of a church that was built on the grounds of another church. And that's why you have the name Tiernan. St. Tiernan lived in the 5th century. And basically what it was, he was a Christian. Now, this was before the whole concept of Catholic came, because that only came when the Reformation and, as you know, the breakup of the what was the Christian religion into different sects. But back then, you had one Christian religion. So St. Tiernan founded, I suppose you could say, a monastery. He definitely founded a church. And some excavations have found that there was also dwellings around there. So the one that you're referring to now is an 8th century building, the ruins of which exist. I don't know if you've gone to visit it. It's very interesting. And it's still fairly intact, you know. And as far as I know, there's ambitions to do some work on it to actually strengthen what remains of it, you know.
I think what's special about Kiltearnan is that most of our early church sites went on to become parish churches. So in Ardrahan, in our own parish church, it's a higgledy-piggledy mass of thousands of burials over the years. The present church is at least the 4th church on the site. So it's changed a lot from when it was first founded in the, maybe in the 5th or 6th century, probably the 6th century. Whereas Kiltearnan has stayed very close to its original state, especially if you look at it in an aerial photograph. You can see a big circular enclosure, which is the original monastic enclosure, divided radially into little garden plots and house plots. and you can see remains of the houses from the year with the church right in the middle. So it stayed very close to its original form, which is what's special about it. You can look it up on Google Earth.
Do you have any information about Tyrone House?
Tyrone House. It's in Kilcolgan, parish of Ballindarreen, and it's one of these kind of stately homes. Now, it was built on behalf of Christopher St. George. I don't know if you've heard of the St. George's, but they were the landlords back at that time of Norman origin. You'll find that a lot of the big families were of Norman origin. Anyone of worth or consequence, you either had to have a castle or you had to have a big house. So in this instance, it was the big house to win for. 1779, it was finished. And the St. George's obviously lived there for quite some time. Now, you know that with the size of it, you can imagine the amount of people that were either both lived in it and were working in it. I don't know if you've ever seen upstairs, downstairs, but I'm sure it was based on that, where you had the servants and you had the gentry. And you can imagine the kind of different social events that took place and all of it, all on the backs of, we'd say, the ordinary people, the tenant farmers, the peasants, which for the most part actually paid for all of this. The St. George's also, not only did they own the land, they also owned the water. So you often heard about the fisheries and the oyster fishery in particular. You've heard about the Kellys and the fine business that have gone there in relation to the oyster production. Well, back then, all of that was belonged to the St. George's, and that's what made them wealthy, both land and sea.
And do you know that the St. George Kennedys left Galway over 100 years ago and pretty much abandoned the house after it was burnt down? But I know a St. George Kennedy. So if he gets to hear this, I want to give a shout out to Gary St. George Kennedy, Gary with two R's, a very talented man who can do anything with his hands. He could restore that house if he'd enough time. Yeah. But he also needs enough money. And he says he came from England to live in Canberra because one day he's going to get the house back and restore it. So there's still a St. George Kennedy living locally, Gary St. George Kennedy in Canberra.
Very interesting. Now, do you know what happened to the Tyrone House, Bally?
Right. What happened to Tyrone House is what happened to a lot of houses. If you remember back at the time when, before the War of Independence and around that time, the IRA were very strong. And anything that identified as British rule was fair game as regards if they could do anything with it. Now, surprisingly, Tyrone House was actually idle. There was actually only one person living in it at the time. Sort of a caretaker, he was an invalid kind of person. But the IRA decided they were going to burn it down. But being the polite gentlemen that they were, they took the caretaker in his bed, lifted the whole lot, put him out in the shed, and before they set fire to the house. And that was the end of the terrific house.
I heard W.B. Yeats used to have a summer house called Thor Ballylee. I've also heard that it's haunted. Do you know anything about that, anyone?
I know that W.B. Yeats acquired the house and did it up. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was haunted, because, you know, he was nuts. He's remembered as our most famous and talented poet, but the man was a complete eccentric. He loved seances. He used to get together with friends to invoke the spirits of the dead. So if you believe in spirits, and if you believe that they can be summoned, it's probably W.B. Yeats' fault that the place is haunted, because seances were one of his hobbies.
I have a little story about Thor Ballylee. One of my books. I was talking to Michael Cahill. He lived up in Deer Park near Gort, and he told me, I asked him, did he ever used to go to Thor Ballylee when he was a young lad? And he said, no, but William Butler Yeats used to come down across to Cool. We often met him on the path, the mass path, often. I often met him. He'd never speak to you at all. He'd be standing up listening. You thought he was crazy. He'd be going along. Then he'd stand up and he'd be listening for about 5 minutes. And then he'd be off again. Oh, he was a real genius, sure genius. But like he used to bother with nobody, he used to have an Irish wolfhound most times walking with him. So that's just a little story I picked up.
Now, to wrap it up, there's some information about Ardrahan Castle. So can any of you tell me about it?
Well, it's a Norman castle built at the time of the Norman invasion of Connacht. So the Normans arrived in Ireland in about 1170, and for a long time they stayed east of the Shannon. But a couple of generations went by, there were more of them, they wanted more land, and they poured across the Shannon into Connacht in 1235 with a full army of knights and barons and infantrymen and archers, and rapidly conquered Connacht. And the first thing they did, like all conquerors, was start building military fortifications, in their case masonry castles. And our Drahan Castle was built by the grandly titled Maurice Fitzgerald, Chief Justiciar of Ireland, which meant he was the king's lieutenant. He actually lived in Offaly, so he'd only have had a constable to manage his castle in our Drahan. And he got given the land by the first Norman lord of Connacht, Richard de Burgo. That was 1240. 40 years later, they've fallen out. Who was the first person to burn the castle? The de Burgos. It's been an unlucky place ever since, because in the 1980s it fell down. But the last remaining, Dylan will know this, the last remaining stump of it is now the proud emblem of our Drahan Hurling Club. So we've really got to mind what's left, because there's a new superstition going abroad that if the rest of it falls down, we'll never win another county title.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Be a long time coming anyways. I think we have time for just one more question. I know we talked a bit about the Ardrahan Mausoleum earlier. Does anyone know anything more about it?
Yes, it was erected within a churchyard, an ancient church that was there in existence prior to that, by Mrs. Bingham, Lady Bingham, I suppose you could say, and it was for her husband, Charles Bingham. Now, Charles Bingham died in around, what was it at all?
1876.
Yeah, I think it was 1876, yeah. And his wife, in around 1890, had this mausoleum. You know what a mausoleum is? It's a kind of a tomb, basically, to hold coffins. I don't know if any of you ever come across where there was coffins in a tomb, still intact, usually lead-lined and things like that. For obvious reasons. And so that's the origin of it. It was constructed on her behalf to house her husband. It latterly housed herself and I think Charles' brother, three of them. And in 1940s, for whatever reason, maybe because these things were being robbed or whatever, the three coffins were reinterred in the church in Ardrahan.
I think we've just about finished. I'd just like to say a very special thank you to Michael, Pauline and Jerry for coming to see us this evening. We are very grateful for your expertise. We have all learned a lot this evening.
Thank you for having us. It's been fun.
Thank you everybody for listening to this podcast episode on local history. We would like to thank Burr & Beo and Galway County Council for funding our project.
We would also like to thank Sally Ann Barrett for teaching us how to use the special podcast equipment needed for this project. And thanks also to our audience for listening.
This project was produced and edited by Freeway Media. The podcast series was part funded by the Heritage Office, Galway County Council under Galway Community Support Grant Scheme and Burr & Beo.